and amen. You know, this morning, I love having Wednesday morning service. I know my wife does because we usually get to have a babysitter during that, and she usually gets to come and sit here. But today she didn't get to. Our babysitter was out of town. But anyway, one of the reasons why I love that Wednesday morning service is a great reason why I love Sunday morning service, because when you get out, you can just go start eating. And this morning, Monica texted me literally as I was walking up to the stage and said, "Don't worry about getting lunch on your way home. I got you Chick-fil-A." So, man, this day has already started out good. So it don't matter really how tonight goes. I already had a good day. But anyway, I hadn't had dinner, so maybe she'll also have something waiting there. But anyway, speaking of dinner, there was an elderly couple. And they were having dinner at one of their friend's house. They were also an elderly couple. And after they got done eating, the wives left the table and they went into the kitchen to start cleaning up. Well, the two older men were talking, and one of them looked at his friend and said, "You know, man, last night we went to this awesome new restaurant, and it was really great. And I would highly recommend it to anybody." And his friend said, Well, what was the name of the restaurant?" And the old man thought. And he thought, and he thought. And he looked at his friend and he said, "What's the name of the flower you give to somebody you love? You know, the flower that's red, the flower that has rose, or the flower that has thorns on it?" And the man said, "Are you talking about a rose?" He said, yeah, that's what I'm talking about." And then the man turned around towards the kitchen and said, "Rose, what's the name of the restaurant we went to last night?" If you don't get it tonight, I'll tell it again next Wednesday. Maybe you'll get it then. It does. Amen. I knew somebody would relate to it. Anyway, all right. Well, let's go to Exodus chapter number 3, okay? If you've been here with us, I think this is our 8th or 9th week in the book of Exodus. We're studying really the life of Moses for right now. And last week we saw that Moses had to flee into the wilderness, into the backside of the desert, and it was there he became an employer for his father-in-law. He became the shepherd of his father-in-law's sheep, and we know that he did that, and that began at the age of 40. Now, what the book of Exodus does not tell us, but the New Testament tells us, the book of Acts, is between chapter 2 of Exodus and chapter 3 of Exodus, 40 years have gone by. So if you do the math, Moses was 40, now he is 80 years old, and he's in the exact same place he was when he was 40, still keeping his father-in-law's sheep in the backside of the desert, literally in the middle of nowhere. And I'm sure, as you can imagine, Moses is now 80, and he's thinking, "Man, this is just what my life is going to be like until the day God calls me home." And he's probably down about that a little bit, because Moses is thinking, "You know what, man, I had big dreams. I had big plans. I had things that I wanted to do for God. Now for the last 40 years, I've just been out here tending a bunch of sheep." But all of a sudden, we're going to approach Exodus chapter number 3 tonight. And Moses' life, though he was 80 years old, it's about to hit a turning point to where he's about to find God's path for his life. So let's read it tonight. We're just going to read verses 1 through 6, and I want to bring this title on this: When God Speaks. When God Speaks. Exodus 3, verse 1. "Now Moses kept the flock of Jethro, his father-in-law, the priest of Midian, and he led the flock to the backside of the desert and came to the mountain of God, even to Horeb. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a flame of fire out of the midst of a bush. And he looked, and behold, the bush burned with fire, and the bush was not consumed. And Moses said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight, why the bush is not burnt. And when the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place whereon thou standest is holy ground. Moreover, he said, I am the God of thy father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God." And that's where we're going to stop tonight. How many of you have ever heard the story of Moses and the burning bush before? Right? Probably every single one of us have. From the time I can remember, 3, 4, 5 years old in Sunday school, children's church, whatever, we learned this story. And always, the emphasis of this story was on what Moses saw. And what Moses saw was literally a bush in front of him that was burning, yet it really wasn't burning. It was not consumed. And that was really what the whole story was always about, was what Moses saw with his eyes. But I'm here to propose something to you tonight. And it's this. I believe this story is not about what Moses saw, but rather about what Moses heard. Because what Moses heard in verse number 4 was the voice of God. He heard the voice of God. Verse 4 says, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush and said, Moses, Moses. And you know, all week as I read that, the only thing I kept wondering was, I wonder what that sounded like, right? You ever wondered that? God did this to a bunch of people in the Old Testament, as a matter of fact. He called out them by name, and all I can imagine was what it sounded like. And the only thing I have to go by is James Earl Jones, right? The dude that played the Lion King, right? But anyway, there's no way to tell what this voice sounded like, how deep it was, how loud it was, but that's besides the point, all right? The point of this story is that there's an 80-year-old shepherd who is literally a failure, who is now a nobody, and he is literally out in the middle of nowhere, yet out in the middle of nowhere to this no one, the Lord God begins to speak to him. And here's the thing about it. God wasn't speaking in a conversation over here, and Moses just happened to eavesdrop into it. I don't know about y'all. I'm going to confess something. One of my most favorite things to do is eavesdrop, especially when you're sitting in a restaurant. I love hearing other families' conversation, especially if they're in a fight or something. Me and Monica are literally, we'll be listening. We won't even be eating our food. I'm saying, what are they talking about now? You know, so be careful what you talk about in restaurants, all right? Some of y'all laughing because y'all done did it tonight. But that's not what happened to Moses. God wasn't over here speaking to His angels or to His son and Moses just happened to hear. God is speaking directly to Moses. They're about to have a conversation back and forth because God said, Moses. Here's another thing. I don't know about y'all, but isn't it pretty amazing when you think about it that God knows your name? The name that my mama and daddy gave me in 1993 when I was born, God knows that name. And even cooler is that somewhere in heaven, my name is written in the book of life. God knows our name. And if you're a child of God and you don't feel special, well, you ought to. Because the Lord God of all creation literally knows our name. John 10 speaks to that as well. But anyway, here's what's amazing about God speaking to Moses, calling out His name. He did the exact same thing to Abraham. Genesis chapter number 22, you can look it up. He said, Abraham, Abraham. He did the exact same thing to Joshua, Joshua chapter number 1. He spake to Joshua. 1 Samuel chapter number 3, Samuel was just a little boy. And He said, Samuel, Samuel. Here's the thing about it. God personally spoke to these men and women down throughout the ages. Listen to what Hebrews chapter 1:1 says. God, who at sundry times and in various manners spake in time past to the fathers, yet hath in these last days spoken unto us by His Son. What the Bible is trying to tell us is God is not a silent God. But He is a God who is not out there somewhere who nobody knows Him, nobody knows what He's talking about, but He's a God who is personal, and He's a God who wants to speak to His people. He's a God who speaks. And you know, that got me thinking as I was studying this. The Bible says, I am God and I change not. You believe that? I am God and I change not. But for some reason, we have begun to think this thought. That you know, though God spoke in the Bible to all these people, in our generation today, He no longer speaks to us. And that's what I've thought, really, that you're telling me that all throughout the pages of the Word of God, God shows up and He speaks personally to people about what they need, about what they need to do, about what their calling is, and yet people are telling me in this generation now God no longer speaks. I would say that's not possible. Because I'm here to tell you that the God that spoke to Moses is still speaking today. And He wants, and He longs, and He desires to speak to you and me. Now I will tell you this. What I believe, what a lot of people believe, it's not going to be an audible voice like it was to Moses. But I love what Charles Stanley said. He said, God speaks louder than an audible voice today. God may not speak in an audible voice today, but He speaks louder than an audible voice today. You want to know why? Because He speaks directly through this book. And I don't know about you, this book can be real loud to me sometimes. God speaks through this book to our spirits. And that's a very loud voice. I want you to listen to what F.B. Meyer said about the voice of God too. He said that that voice that spoke to Moses still speaks to those whose hearts are hushed to hear. Do you hear that? He said, if your heart is hushed to listen, that voice that spoke to Moses can still speak to you. He said, the God of past generations still makes known His will to the anointed ear. That's what he said. And I like that. But I want you to think about the reason God came and spoke to Moses. You and I talk just to be talking sometimes. God doesn't do that. When God speaks, when God communicates, He has a very specific reason for doing it. And the reason God came and spoke to Moses is because God wanted to do something. God had a plan to do something, and He was going to use Moses to do it. That's why He came and spoke to Moses. He said, I'm going to do something, and Moses, come here, I want to use you to do it. And that's generally the way He wants to communicate to us as well. Because God sees something in this world that He wants to be done, and the way He does it is through you and me. So He says, Justin, Danny, come here. I got something I want to do, and if you'll let me use you to do it. Isn't that amazing? I don't know if anybody has told you this lately, but God has an amazing plan for your life. Now, I understand this morning, this is not a youth class. This is not a bunch of 16-year-olds, 20-year-olds, 25-year-olds. Isn't that an awesome message for teenagers, though? That God has a plan for your life, where He wants you to go to college, who He wants you to marry, what job you want to take. All of this stuff, God has a plan for teenagers' life. But I am also here to tell you this tonight. You may be 55, 25, 65, or 85. God still has a plan for the rest of your life. That's the only reason you're still here. Because you may not, listen, you may not be able to live the next 50 years, 60 years, 70 years. You may not live that long. But if you live another year, 5 years, 10 years, or 15 years, God wants to use you to do something. And He has an amazing plan for the rest of your life, no matter how long it may be. And I want to do God's plan for my life. And I believe that's your heart's desire as well, because you're here and you're listening. But the only way you and I are going to accomplish God's plan for our life is to first hear His voice speaking what that plan is. And that is exactly how Moses began. He didn't know what to do until God came and revealed to him what he needed to do. And the question that I have for you tonight is, do you want to hear God speak to you the same way He spoke to Moses? My answer is yes. I want to hear God speak to me the same way He did to Moses. And if you do, there are a few things that God wants us to do first so that He can speak. God has a few prerequisites that we need to do so that He can speak to our hearts. Number one, I want you to see this if it's up there. Number one, God wants our attention. God wants our attention. Now, we just read the Scriptures. I'm not going to read it again. But you know that Moses was a shepherd. He had probably traveled this same route for 40 years, leading these sheep to the grass, to the water, whatever may have been around this mountain. He's been that way plenty of times. But all of a sudden, on this random day that was just like every other day, he sees something out of the corner of his eye that he's never seen before. And what he saw was a bush on fire. And I'm sure he first thought, boy, that's weird, right? But at first, he probably just looks at it and is like, whatever, you know, get my sheep away, get my flock away so it won't hurt them. That thing will go out soon enough. A few minutes later, he happens to turn around and he says, hold on, that's real weird. He says, because that thing's been burning for a while now, yet the leaves on it aren't being consumed. Yet the leaves on it aren't falling off. They're not withering. The tree is literally not changed at all, even though this fire is all around it. And God did that to get Moses' attention, by the way. And God knows exactly what it takes to get your attention and my attention as well. But I want you to look at what Moses said in verse 3, because this is really the main point, I think, of the story. Verse 3 and verse 4. Look at what Moses does. Moses, after seeing this, he said, I will now turn aside and see this great sight. So Moses turns away from here and he turns to this burning bush. Now look at verse 4. When the Lord saw that he turned aside to see, God called unto him out of the midst of the bush. I don't know if you just read that or saw that same way I did. But the Bible just said when the Lord saw that he turned aside, it was then and only then God started talking. So if Moses would have never turned aside, kept walking the way he was walking, said, you know what, don't worry about it, that ain't nothing, God would have never said anything. But because Moses turned away from this and turned to that, the Bible literally said when God saw Moses turn, God started talking. And that is exactly what you and I must do in order to hear God's voice in our lives. Turn to Him and give Him our undivided attention. And the question we must ask ourselves tonight is, how often throughout our weekly life does God get our undivided attention? How often do we give God our undivided attention? Because what God is saying here in verse 4, I am waiting for you to turn to me. I am waiting to see you put your attention on me. And when you do that, then I'll talk. Then I will speak. But until then, nothing. If Moses would have never turned aside, he would have never heard the voice of God. Now listen, this is what God wants from you and me, especially today. God wants us to turn off our phones. God wants us to turn off the TV. God wants us to turn off the computer. And God wants us to get away from all of the distractions. Turn away from that and turn to Him, so that He can speak to our hearts. I don't know if y'all have ever seen this before or not. Talking about a restaurant, may not have been out to a restaurant in a while, whatever. But when you see a family that's out to a restaurant, you see maybe the parents are 40, 50 years old, they have teenagers, all right? And they're sitting in a booth. This is what you're probably going to see. On this side of the booth is a teenager. You know what they're going to do for the 35 minutes they're sitting there? Am I right? Me and Monica saw this the other day, and we watched them too. 35 minutes he sat there, and the only time he looked down was to grab a chicken nugget and eat it. But you know what the interesting part about it? Mama was on the other side of the booth just to run in that mouth. Just a going. I mean, she was looking directly at her teenage boy who was looking straight down, and she was still talking. And I remember looking at Monica, I said, "They ain't no way he heard one word she has said this whole time." Because they ain't. Now, what's interesting about that was God does not do that to us. God does not speak to us if He knows He will not be heard. So before God speaks to us, you know what He wants? Put away all the stuff and say, "God, You have my attention. I'm listening. You can speak." God wants our undivided attention so that He can speak to us, particularly through His Word. And you've probably noticed this. Moses was in the perfect spot for that. In the perfect spot for God to speak to him. He wasn't sitting in a church. He wasn't surrounded by thousands of people. He wasn't surrounded by all of this media that was plugging all of these other voices. You know where Moses was? Out in the middle of nowhere, to where nothing else could distract him away from hearing the voice of God. And what you'll find out is, I'm not telling you God can't speak in church through a sermon, through a song. God does that plenty of times. But some of the greatest ways God speaks is when it's just you and Him all alone. He did it so many times in Scripture, to Moses, to Samuel, to all of these people. When they were all alone, it was then God showed up and spoke directly to them. The question I want to ask you is, do you have a place in your home where you can go and put down your phone, where you can go and not look at a TV that's on, where you can go where there's no distractions, and you can just go and be with God and give God your undivided attention? If not, I encourage you to find that place tonight and attend it on a regular basis. God wants our undivided attention before He can speak to us. Number one, our attention. Number two, He wants our availability. He wants us to be available to Him. Look at what Moses said. Verse number four, God called unto him and said, "Moses, Moses," and Moses had a simple response. "Here am I." Here am I. What Moses was saying was, "I'm available. I'm listening. You can speak because I am available to you." You ever have somebody important or something important and you want to call somebody? It's an urgent matter. It's an exciting matter. It's an important matter. And man, you want to call them on the phone only to have it ring five times and hear that old lady come on and say, "Sorry, the person you're trying to reach is not available. And their voicemail box is also full. So sorry." Right? And then your next reply is this: "I don't even know why so-and-so has a phone. They don't never pick up." Some of y'all said that about me, I can guarantee it. Because if you've called me before, my phone is usually 100 yards away from me. But anyway, but not available. God wants us to be available. To where we say, "God, you know what? I am available. If you want to speak to me, here I am." And that's what God wants from us. Before you read the Scripture, if you're all alone, before you just start digging into it just to get it over with, stop for just a minute and say, "God, before I do this, I want to hear what You want to say to me through this." Before you come to church on Sunday and Wednesday, you ought to stop just for a minute or so before you walk in. Say, "God, whenever the Sunday school teacher teaches, whenever the songs are sung, whenever the preacher preaches, I want to hear what You want to say to me." That's what we should do. We should say, "God, I am available whatever You want to say." Because I don't know about you, I don't get to come to church often without standing up and preaching. But when I do, I need more than just a general sermon. I need more than that. I need more than a general sermon that speaks to everybody. I need God to use that general sermon to speak a direct message to me. That's what I want. And that's really, to be honest with you, what I need. And when I read the Bible every day, what I need is more than what God said to Moses, more than what God said to Joshua. I need more than what God said to Paul. I want what God wants to say to me through that. And let me say this. That is one of the reasons why the Holy Spirit lives on the inside of us. To interpret and speak the truth of the Word of God to us. To help us understand the Scripture and to speak the Scripture to us and to our hearts through our spirits. You know what's sad? You may have, some of you probably studied this. Back in the 1400s, back in the 1500s, the Roman Catholic Church was really ruling the church world at that time. And what they taught was that the only people who could understand and the only people who could interpret the Bible was the priest. That's it. All you people who were just laymen, don't even try. Don't try to understand the Scripture. Don't try to interpret the Scripture. You can't. Leave that to me. But then the 1500s came along, praise the Lord. Martin Luther came along. Calvin came along. And they began to what they called the Protestant Reformation. They reformed the world. And they said, now, hold on. That's not the case. If a person is saved and they have the Holy Spirit living on the inside of them, they can understand the Scriptures no matter what their education is like. Isn't that amazing? No matter if you've even finished middle school or high school, if you are saved and the Holy Spirit lives within you, He can show you what this book is talking about. It's amazing. And that's one of the reasons He lives on the inside of us. Jesus said when the Holy Spirit has come, He will guide you into all truth. That's what He does. He guides us into the truth of the Word of God. Even more amazing, I forgot to bring this book up with me, but I have a book in my office written by a man named Martin Lloyd Jones. He was a great, really famous preacher in the early 90s. I think he was British, to be honest. But I have that book, and it's an amazing book on the Holy Spirit. But there are some things in that book that I really don't understand what he's trying to say. But you know what would be awesome? If I had his phone number. And I said, Preacher Jones, I don't understand what you wrote here. Can you inform me what this means? And you know what he would do? He would tell me exactly what he means when he wrote that. Because he was the author of it. Well, guess what? When you and I read the Bible, do you realize we have the author with us? The author of the Scripture wasn't just Peter and Paul and John and Matthew. The Holy Spirit inspired them to write the Scripture. You know what that means? Every time you read one little word in this Scripture, the author is right here with you. And the greatest thing to do when you're reading the Scripture is to ask questions. Write them down, ask them, pray about them. And say, God, what are you trying to say to me right here? Because the Holy Spirit's the one who wrote it. He's the one who inspired it. He's the one who breathed it. And if He wants you to understand it, He'll give you understanding on it if you just ask Him. So the author is with us whenever we read it. And by the way, the Holy Spirit is the greatest teacher of Scripture in this entire world. The teacher is with us. The author is with us. And we must be seeking for Him to speak to us. And as I said earlier, every time we hear a sermon, read our Bibles, read our devotion in the morning, in the afternoon, in the night, before we do that, we ought to just stop and say, God, what are You saying to me? Because God has a personal message through this that He wants to communicate to us. Now, let me read this for you, and I'm going to move on to my third point, and I'm going to be done. There's a perfect example of this in 1 Samuel chapter number 3. He's talking to Samuel, who was just a young boy. I just said Samuel a lot, so I'm going to keep on saying it. We're in 1 Samuel chapter 3. Listen to what happens. Samuel is just a child. That could mean 10 years old, whatever. The Bible says in 1 Samuel chapter number 3, it came to pass at that time when Eli was laid down in his place. His eyes began to wax dim and he couldn't see. The lamp of God went out in the temple where the ark of God was, and Samuel was laid down to sleep. And then the Lord called Samuel, and Samuel said, "Here am I." Samuel ran to Eli and said, "Here am I. You called me." He said, "I didn't call you. Go lie down again." And he went and lay down. And the Lord called yet again, "Samuel." Samuel arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, for thou called me." And he answered and he said, "I didn't call you, my son. Lie down again." Now Samuel did not yet know the Lord, neither was the word of the Lord yet revealed unto him. And the Lord called Samuel again the third time. And he arose and went to Eli and said, "Here am I, thou called me." And Eli perceived that the Lord had called the child. Therefore Eli said unto Samuel, "Go, lay down, and it shall be, if he call thee, that thou shalt say, 'Speak, Lord, thy servant heareth.'" So Samuel went and lay down in his place. And the Lord came and stood and called as at other times, "Samuel, Samuel." Then Samuel answered, "Speak, for thy servant heareth." You know what God did? He began to speak what Samuel needed to hear and what he needed to do. I tell you that because that is exactly the approach we need to take. Samuel said, "Lord, speak, I'm listening." And notice, Samuel wasn't around a bunch of people. Samuel wasn't around a bunch of distractions. Samuel was laid down in complete darkness, about to go to sleep. And it was then God started speaking. With nothing else around, quiet, God started to speak. So I'm here to encourage you tonight. I'm going to give one more point and I'm done. If there's not a place in your home where there's no distractions, find it. Where you can go to that place and say, "Lord, I'm here. I've got your word. Speak. Because I'm listening." And you just might be amazed at what happens in that. One of the greatest lessons I've ever learned from one of the greatest teachers I've ever had is prayer is much more than just talking to God. It's listening to God. See, sometimes we don't hear God in prayer because the only thing we're doing is talking. God wants to have a conversation with us. And a conversation is not just one person talking. It's talking and then listening. So in prayer, it's not just about us talking. It's about us being silent sometimes and say, "God, if you've got anything to say, anything you want me to do, anything you need to reveal, speak. I'm listening." And that's what He wants from us. Not only our attention, our availability, but thirdly, He wants our allegiance. And I'll be done. I want you to look at verse 5. What's interesting about this is that's the last words Moses says for a while. The next verse 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10, Moses does not say a word. It was all God. So Moses is practicing listening here. But look at what God said after Moses said, "Here I am." God said unto him, "Draw not nigh hither. Put off thy shoes from off thy feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground." So God says, before you come any closer, stop. Don't come too close. Don't come too close. Before you do, take your shoes off. Because the place you're standing is holy ground. Now, did God say this place is holy ground because He's looking at the grass and the dirt and saying, that's some holy ground down there? That's not what He's talking about. He's not talking about the grass and the dirt and the mud down there. It is holy. It's set apart. He said, well, why did He call it holy ground? What made the ground holy was the presence of God was there. That's what made the ground holy. And as a matter of fact, when we get to Exodus chapter number 19, we're going to find Moses at this very same place. It says the mountain of God, Horeb. That is a synonym for Sinai. And you know what happened in Exodus 19? God looks at Moses and the people of Israel and He said, "Moses, make sure you tell them that they do not come too close or that they do not touch this mountain. Because if they get too close, and even if they touch this mountain, the moment they do, they're dead. So God said, tell them to stay back. Because though I want you to come close, you can't come too close. You say, why did... I've struggled, I told Ronnie this, I've struggled with this all week. Why in the world did God tell Moses to take his shoes off before he came any closer? And that's an interesting thing. There's a lot of different interpretations on that, and they're not wrong. But I read one, and it kind of stuck with me. Most people don't really do this anymore, but when the old-timers used to walk in your house, and they had a hat on, you know what they do before they walked in the house? Tell me. Take it off, right? They take it off. Why? Because it was a sign of just respect and reverence for the place where you were going. And more than likely, that's exactly what this is here. This is Moses showing a sign of reverence and respect and even fear of the God that he is about to approach. Because if there's one thing that kind of we've lost touch of, especially in this generation today, God is our Father. Amen. And as a matter of fact, Jesus is our friend. Do you know that? Jesus is not only our Savior. He said in John 15, He said, I'm your friend as well. But there's one thing we must never forget. God is not only our Father. Jesus is not only our friend. But God is also the sovereign, holy God of the universe. That is one thing we must never forget about God. Yes, we can approach Him through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. But do you realize even the people who were covered in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, when they saw Him, they fell down on their face? So God is saying, don't approach me like you would approach anybody else, because I'm not like everybody else. I'm holy. Perfect. All light. No darkness. No sin. Completely set apart from everything in this universe. That's God. And He says, before you come any closer, you need to put off some things. You can come. Don't come too close. You see, James chapter number 4, I'm going to end with this. God said, draw not nigh hither. But before you do, put off your shoes from off your feet. James 4, verse 8 uses those words kind of. James 4, verse 8, he says, draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. That's a good promise right there, isn't it? We forget the next part of verse 8. Draw nigh to God, and He will draw nigh to you. You ready? Cleanse your hands, you sinners. And purify your hearts, ye double-minded. So James says, before you draw nigh to God, make sure your hands are clean. Before you draw nigh to God, make sure your heart is going to be purified before Him. Because God is a holy God. And God wants to approach God wants us to approach Him and bring Him our sin. Because the only way we can be cleansed of our sin is if He does it. So He wants us to come confessing our sin, putting off the things that keep us out of fellowship with Him, so that we can draw closer to Him. And that's what He's asking us to do tonight through Exodus chapter number 3. He's asking for our attention. Put away the distractions. Put them things away. Your phone's not bad. Your TV's not bad. Your computer's not bad. But don't stare at it 24/7. God wants our attention on Him. He wants us to be available to where we're quiet and we say, God, you know what? I'm here. I want you to speak to my heart. But He also wants our allegiance to where we're totally devoted to Him and where we're devoted to drawing nigh to Him, no matter what we have to put off. I want to hear the voice of the Lord in my life. Do you? Amen. Father, we come to You tonight. We thank You for this time in Your Word. Thank You for the Holy Spirit of God who has inspired Your Word. And this is not just a book of history of yesterday. This is a book of today. The Word of God is alive. It is powerful. And it is able to speak to our hearts today. Thank You so much for Your Word and Your Spirit who has caused us to be born again and who also speaks to us in our lives today. God, we thank You for it. As we go out into this world and we face all the troubles around us, as we face all of the things that we go through in our lives, God, we just need a word from You because Your Word brings so much peace to our lives. So Father, I pray that we would seek You so that we may hear You speaking in the midst of our troubles in our lives. Lord, we love You and we thank You for Your Word. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.